We are looking at item 6C, Sheriff Discussion Direction Possible Action, Request to Extend the State of Emergency Related to Proliferation of Cannabis.
Good morning, Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue. Thank you, Board of Supervisors. So the item before you is on a recommendation to extend our declaration of the state of emergency. I'll spend a few times going through just some updates. Feel free to ask any questions. So to date, we're at already 90,000 plants that we've eradicated in the county, 12,500 pounds of processed ready for sale marijuana, 45 arrests, 23 firearms, and most troubling is the continuation of our Chinese labeled pesticides. We've had recovered 31 bags. 80% of our cannabis sites contain this pesticide. And if you're not familiar with it, I will inform you about it. The labeling on it is in Chinese. It comes from China, and it's being smuggled into the United States. There are 25 different pesticides contained in that product. It's sawdust. It is burned as a fumigant. So out of the 25 pesticides, 17 of them are not listed as required to be tested for in California. So when it gets on the product, it goes out, whether it's black market or it is at a licensed facility, the labs that test all that miss it because, again, there's 17 that are not tested for, which is an issue I raise with the state frequently. 12 are inhibitors, acetylcholinesterase inhibitors in the body, which is not good for investigators as well as the growers themselves. 8 of them are listed as Prop 65 carcinogens, and 7 are not registered in the United States at all to be used. 6 of them are groundwater pollutants, and 3 are toxic air contaminants, and 0 of them are allowed to be fumigated, which is what is happening in the county. So it continues to threaten our environment, the watershed, of course, and then just public safety in general. And so retail numbers on this, which if you look at what the state is documenting for the rate for cannabis, this year we've already destroyed $90 million in illegal cannabis, and that's at the low end. The kind of average market value is at $215 million. The dollars don't necessarily mean anything, just to show you that it's very lucrative business in the county, which I think we're all aware of. The other troubling thing that we see now is that it used to be just the black market, and now it's the legal market is part of that. We routinely stop vehicles with drivers that are working for licensed facilities that have licenses from the Department of Cannabis Control, and they're buying illegal marijuana that has pesticides all over it, then taking it back to licensed facilities in California and Oregon. It's a public health threat. State doesn't get that, but I won't stop talking about it. But even forget about the plant. If you go to a dispensary to buy, anyone listening to this, if you go to buy marijuana, the idea is that you'd be buying safe marijuana. And that there usually is certifications that it went to the lab, it was certified. But again, as I just said, that certification is missing at least 17 of these pesticides. And some of them can be fatal if inhaled. And there is no current testing or studies to indicate what that does to people long term. Recently, the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory is doing a study on what these pesticides do to the human body and trying to help us out, which all stem from Siskiyou County's discovery of these pesticides. They're now in over 5 states, and I think we're up to 12 or 15 counties in California. So anyways, just to understand, this is no longer just black market, it's also in the legal market. And again, people are buying product that potentially could be laced with this pesticide in established locations, and they are unaware. And the state literally has not done anything to push that information out. It's little old me in Siskiyou County, but people need to be very much concerned about this and try to advocate for change. I do the same thing, but the legislature has to do something because, again, You can't even buy cookies. I mean, that isn't gone through certifications, right? There's a recall for beef or eggs. The whole world knows about it. But this is just getting under the radar. I'm actually concerned for people that legitimately use it, because you don't know, and you won't know until there's health hazards. One other thing I'll add is that the Department of Cannabis Control, they did start a recall program, and part of that, it'll tell you, if you look it up, that a product has been recalled from a dispensary, and it'll list that there's been a Category 1 pesticide discovered, and it'll say, if you have symptoms, please contact your physician. It doesn't list what the symptoms may be. It's kind of a joke, but that's their attempt to inform the public of a potential health hazard, which is embarrassing. So if anybody's trusting the Department of Cannabis Control to ensure that they're getting safe product, it's not working, and you have to be a better advocate. And one last thing is fire danger increases with the cultivation activity, and that is a concern for me as well. So between these three components of public safety, crime, and fire, which in the environment and health, my recommendation is to extend the emergency.
Comments from the board?
Questions, I guess. The state has yet to recognize this, I guess. Is that true?
The state, which part, sir?
Our declaration.
That's correct.
And I think, as I read it, and I've been involved with this for a long time, it comes across as a law enforcement issue, which it is. But I guess my question, more in general to the rest of the county, is where's our public health department on this? Where is our Dr. Stutz on this? Because to me, it's their elected duty not to be addressing the human issues, both for the workers out there, legitimate or not, as well as the exposure in these so-called certified dispensaries we have. That is clearly the role of some of the folks we pay in this county to protect the public, and I don't see them stepping up to the plate. They're pissing me off. I'm sorry, it's not politically, comfortable to take on that role, but then resign from the position if you can't do it. That's where I'm at.
So I'll share that sentiment. I actually requested information to go out a month ago. Well, about a month ago, I would say, maybe longer. We have people that take part-time jobs to go trim this marijuana, so you have skin contact issues. Obviously we can't track where all this is going, so we have the risk of people thinking they're buying something safe. It's our responsibility. We can't prevent them from going out and trimming it. We can't prevent them from smoking it, but we can give them the pertinent information to protect themselves, and we're not doing it. I got brushed off to an environmental health thing. Well, part, but it's public health pertains to the human. And so that's been a big struggle for me, and I've been very frustrated, so I'm happy to hear somebody else with the same sentiment. I believe that what we need to do is we need to identify every single one of these chemicals. Whatever MSDS information we have on the known chemicals needs to be shared and, addressed. Hey, like, if you are helping in any of these operations or smoking any potential local cannabis, this is what can happen to you. And then as these studies roll along, I think we need to be putting that information out, like, hey, this is a chemical that is found. This is what the study has come out with for information. So if you're going to do these things, protect yourself, find, some way to get. If you're going to smoke cannabis, find some reputable way to make sure that, you're as safe as possible. That's a big deal for me. We need the information out to the public. And, that's a public safety thing outside of this area, too. If this stuff's going to Shasta County, like, we're putting stuff on our Facebook page and it's being shared. How many people are potentially saving by just putting out information?
Thank you.
Another question that I had is, do we have an estimated population growth of Chinese in the county from said operations? From what I'm observing and what I'm hearing, more Hmong are moving out of our area and more Chinese are filling in those spots. I've heard concern about the CCP and money going back. Do we have any population estimates?
Yes, so current estimates, as we looked at last year and even in this year, just our contacts, 60 to 70% of our contacts are Chinese, and the rest being a combination of others, Hmong among the primary of that additional 30 to 40%. I will add too, I've been in contact with the Department of Homeland Security about many different things, just because of the threat, the violent crime, the environmental health, there's animal abuse, labor trafficking, human trafficking. It is it's a hotbed of a mess out there. It's well beyond plants. There is other jurisdictions that have resources that have I've talked to that have linked these grows that are pretty much operating very similar than our county to the CCP. Ultimately, it's the top, I guess you'd say, in the hierarchy. Money has been funneled across to China, and so that's why we see such a organized effort. My hope is, with discussions that I've even had with the federal agencies now and people in the president's administration, that there'll be a concerted effort to looking at the threat to public safety, specifically from the CCP. Because, again, that is also linked to fentanyl, which we also seize in our county. So there's a lot of nefarious activity that is associated with China.
So another thing that I think would, as a governmental structure throughout the United States, we've always done some form of, maybe to protect the public from certain things that might disturb them. But, I'm kind of at a point now where I think people need to know how many bodies are taken out of these areas on the regular. Like, a lot of bodies get taken out and nobody knows about it. I think that, the more that we can show how bad the situation is, the better, because it's not great. There's still a ton of people out there that don't understand that human trafficking is happening out there. And that's a big deal. I don't have all the solutions, but I think the way that we educate people and create a more squeaky wheel, I guess, maybe the state will start paying a little more attention.
And I agree. And, if you didn't already know, they are fully aware of this. It's never going to be an issue of them not knowing, only because, I talk to them all the time. Different agencies. I come up frequently in conversations I'm told about. They can't say they don't know. They just sort of ignore it because it's massive and it implicates a lot. Because again, whether you agree with it or not, it was the state's decision, the legislature with Prop 64 that brought about this. And it's saying on their face if it looks bad for them and they don't want to admit anything was poorly executed, which it incredibly was. It's similar to the previous topics. Things just come out and you're told to just live with it. And then the repercussions are played out before your eyes and you don't get a chance to really comment or work through with them. So it's a strong arm approach that is it's embarrassing again.
I guess I don't get that. The state legislature somehow authorized this. They didn't authorize the illegal grows. It was supposed to be a certified protected process with licenses and everything else. It had nothing to do with what we see here in our county. And I don't understand why the rest of the industry that is legitimate doesn't put pressure on the state to do something about what's affecting their direct profit.
My comments on that, if you'd like them, specifically, my opinion on this and what we're seeing now, because before it was, you had the black market, it was, we'll just say $400 or $500 a pound. It sort of dropped out because everyone was doing that. And so it dropped down to like $100, $200 a pound. Well, then came about this idea that we could actually sell the dirty stuff to the legitimate licensed people. Because when they sell it at a dispensary, their rate is $2,000 a pound. So that's what we're seeing now is the legitimate industry, we'll say, is shortcutting the system and now buying from like our areas and taking it to the dispensary. So in a sense, I think part of it is they're now profiting from this, which is probably why they don't necessarily push back as much as they could have or should.
But where's the state when they regulate dispensaries? There's supposed to be a custody inspection on product?
Yes. So they created a monster and they are understaffed. If they actually wanted to pursue it aggressively, they would have to hire a ton of people. Just an example is what happened recently. We made a traffic stop. There was a dispensary in Santa Cruz that... the person was buying illegal marijuana, and we seized that. He was arrested. We forwarded that information to the state. They went to that dispensary, found more unlicensed or unsourced, they call it, cannabis. And so they wound up suspending that license. So they need to do that on their own. I mean, we're tipping them off, which is great, but there's not an aggressive push from them.
Yes. So what happens when we pass that? What does it just sit out there on a shelf somewhere? Where does it go?
The info about the dispensaries?
No, the emergency declaration, where does it go?
It just sits with us in the county.
So my recommendation would be that you send it to the governor's office and put a shall respond letter in there by 30 days. And that way we'll have a record if they're not going to do anything.
Are those days specific for a reason?
Yes.
Okay.
I like that. Not to discount that, but I think the state has been, didn't we do something, a joint operation? Doesn't it happen periodically to go en masse and try to do stuff like that?
So...
Because it's not just you alone here doing it. I mean, and most of the time, but I'm just saying, I thought you had a report where you had the state come in and National Guard, whatever, and you guys went out there. And...
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. So they came up one time. I can talk about this forever, but so the governor's office created a task force, USATF. I don't know what it stands for, but it's United Cannabis Enforcement Task Force or something. And that was supposed to be a combination of everybody that they have in state agencies. It was Fish and Wildlife, and it was DTSC, Department of Pesticide, DPR. They did come up in July of 2023. They were here for 3 or 4 days. They served 20 search warrants. And it was, to date, their largest enforcement effort. $65 million was seized. So that's nice and all, but that's the only time they've come up. And we're talking about DCC, their enforcement. That's really all they've done for us.
Okay.
But I will give credit to California Department of Fish and Wildlife, which is their own entity. They have teams. They do support us quite regularly and do come out. But again, it's not really the state-directed effort.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Okay. So... And of course, I do support the emergency declaration. You know, to me, the whole marijuana thing, I think the state killed the golden goose before it laid the egg. They just overregulated, and so some of our peers that do have legalization, they're having to reduce the tax rate. Humboldt County is going through a budget issue because of that. You know, my issue with the legalization is if you allow legal commercial grows, you can get some state money. I think it should be reversed. because entities like us that don't allow it, you know, we're suffering the consequences of, you know, yeah, one time, that's not enough. I need you here annually. That's what I would be asking for. So, you know, again, this is where, and then I take the long view. You know, to me, it's education. I mean, we need to be proactive, looking 2-5 years down the road. Marijuana's been around since, I was in high school, it was still there. You know, it's going away. Alcohol's not going away. You know, I need DARE officers regularly teaching our kids, trying to keep these going down that path. It's always going to be addiction, homelessness, all those kind of things, but how do we mitigate that? That's where I'm at. That's my soapbox thing. But I do support the declaration and will support that.
I move to approve.
Second.
Approve or extend?
Okay, sorry, extend.
Thank you. COPSEF and, thank you, to extend. Thank you. All righty, Supervisor Valenzuela. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor COPSEF.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Aye. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to item D, County Administration Discussion, Direction, and Possible Action to Request to Appoint Aaron Welch as Chief Probation Officer effective May 11th.
Good morning, Chair Ogren, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. It is my honor and pleasure to recommend to you today to appoint Ms. Erin Welch as the Siskiyou County Chief Probation Officer effective May 11th, 2025 at the step two salary range of the position. Ms. Welch was the successful candidate of the recruitment that was held, also passed the extensive required post background. And during that entire process, I did have discussions and communications with our Superior Court presiding Judge Pacheco, as well as Judge Linville and Judge Lawrence throughout the process. And so with that, I would seek your appointment.
We have a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Vote one.
Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Copsa.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you.
And so I would like to introduce then to you the newly appointed Siskiyou County Chief Probation Officer, Ms. Erin Welch.
Thank you.
How are your words?
Madam Chair, Board, thank you for this opportunity. I'm honored to serve Siskiyou County in the capacity of Chief Probation Officer. And I look forward to maintaining a productive and collaborative relationship with this board and with the court. So again, thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, item E, County Administration Discussion, Direction, and Possible Action regarding the proclamation congratulating and recognizing road maintenance worker Eric Todd Eggline for 21 years of dedicated service and contributions to the community upon his retirement from Siskiyou County.
Haley Hudson, Deputy County Administrator. As part of the county's 20-year or more retiree recognition program, and in light of road maintenance worker Eric Todd Eggline's retirement, the county wishes to extend its congratulations and gratitude for his 21 years of dedicated service. And although Mr. Eggline was unable to attend the meeting today, he will be presented with a gift and proclamation for the county's recognition.
Thank you. Congratulations to Mr. Eggline, wherever he is today.
Hard, I'm sure.
can't stop. Item F, discussion, direction, and possible action regarding the proclamation congratulating and recognizing Deputy Public Guardian Conservator Assistant Public Administrator.
You want to take a motion and approval first? Thank you. I'm sorry.
So I've worked side by side with Todd. He was by Todd. So I would be honored to make the motion.
Second.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela. Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Copsa.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Aye. Sorry, I'm trying to
It's okay.
Okay, now, here we go. I don't know. Discussion, direction, and possible action regarding proclamation congratulating and recognizing Deputy Public Guardian Conservator Assistant Public Administrator Karen Goynich for 26 years of dedicated service and contributions to the community upon her retirement from Siskiyou County.
Haley Hudson, Deputy County Administrator. So I'd like to bring to attention that the proclamation has been updated to reflect 23 years of service. So as part of the 20-year retiree recognition program, and in light of Ms. Goynich's retirement, the county wishes to extend its congratulations and gratitude for those 23 years of service and her many contributions to the community and present Karen with a gift and proclamation. After the proclamation, the department does have a few words to share.
Supervisor Harris.
All right, this is the proclamation of the Board of Supervisors of the County of Siskiyou recognizing Deputy Public Guardian, Conservator, Assistant Public Administrator Karen Goynich. Whereas Deputy Public Guardian, Conservator, Assistant Public Administrator Karen Goynich has dedicated 23 years of exemplary service to the people of the Siskiyou County, faithfully serving in various capacities. And whereas throughout her distinguished career, Karen Goynich has consistently demonstrated unwavering professionalism, integrity, and a deep commitment to those she has served. And whereas Karen Goynich has earned the respect and admiration of colleagues, community members, and the families of the estate she has compassionately and skillfully managed as a dedicated public servant and fiduciary. And whereas Karen Goynich has played a vital role in protecting the property of decedents from waste, loss, or theft, and has contributed to countless efforts that uphold the dignity and security of those under her care. And whereas, throughout her extensive career, she has served with excellence in the roles of court clerk, legal secretary, legal office coordinator, and deputy public guardian, conservator, assistant public administrator, consistently meeting a wide range of challenging responsibilities with skill, compassion, and leadership. And whereas Karen Goynich's 23 years of public service stand as a testament to her dedication and to the betterment of the Siskiyou County community. And whereas the County of Siskiyou extends its deepest appreciation for her invaluable service and lasting contributions. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors formally recognizes Deputy Public Guardian, Conservator, Assistant Public Administrator Karen Goynich upon her departure from the Siskiyou County Health and Human Services Agency, and expresses its sincerest thanks for her decades of loyal and impactful service. Passed and adopted unanimously by the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors at a regular meeting of said board held on the 6th day of May, 2025.
Supervisor Valenzuela, Supervisor Hal,
aye.
Supervisor Harris,
aye.
Supervisor Kopsa,
aye.
Supervisor Obrin,
aye.
Thank you.
I already have a lump in my throat. This is hard. Good morning, members of the board. Trish Barbieri, Director for Social Services Division. I will say that it's been an honor working beside Karen. I think I've worked closely with her for about 6 years now. And I not only speak on behalf of the Social Services Division, Health and Human Services Agency, but also for the individuals that she has helped over the years. And if I could just briefly talk for just a moment about the work that she does as public administrator, I think it's really important to understand the challenges that the public administrator is tasked with every day. Because Karen works, she's the office of one. So she wears a lot of different caps as public administrator, and that's very important for the county to recognize. So the public administrator is tasked with investigating and administering estates in the county for individuals who die with no will, or they have no one who is appropriate or able to act as an administrator for their estate. They are responsible for making funeral arrangements, for disposing of the body. They're responsible for discovering or uncovering all of the assets for the decedents to protect them,
as you read in the proclamation, from waste, from loss, or from theft. They pay all of their bills, property taxes, homeowners, insurance, everything, to keep the estate intact while the estate is going through probate. They locate persons who are entitled to inherit from the estate, and they also honor the decedent's final wishes, whatever those are. She is a public fiduciary for the county, which has the highest level of trust in terms of managing money and estates and property. And it's for the benefit of the decedent's estate. It's not an easy job, and there's no glamour to it whatsoever. I've actually entered some of the homes that she enters, and it's not glamorous. Oftentimes the decedents have been in their home, deceased, for weeks on end, and it's a difficult place to enter, as you can imagine. But it's an important job. It's a really important job, and Karen did it with the highest level of grace and respect. So if the decedents were here today, I think what they would say is they would say, thank you, Karen, for the compassion and for the humility that she showed in her work every day, for the respect she showed while sorting through all of their personal belongings, their private belongings, while she is in their home, for the collaboration and the high level of respect and patience that she showed while working with her friends and their families and the council. Also for her creative nature when the decedent's finances were just a little bit lean. She found ways to make it work, found solutions to the problems that were in front of her, but mostly for being the hardworking, dedicated professional that she is. They thank you, Karen. Sorry. And I thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for navigating through all the ups and downs in the office of one. You made my job really easy. And now I'm frightened, I'm just going to say. Then in total, I will add that Karen actually had 26 years public service total time, 23 years with the county and 3 years with the Superior Court. 26 years total in total. She has earned her retirement. Doesn't make it easy for me to say goodbye to you. So instead I will say it's been an honor working beside you. I hope retirement brings you wonderful things. Don't forget to pause, walk a little bit slower, laugh a little bit louder, and look up and let the sunset remind you that there are so many more things, more important things ahead of you. Don't look back, look forward. So thank you so much.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning, Lord.
Sarah Collard. I did not have the opportunity to work closely with Karen during her time at the department. However, Trish and I frequently discussed Karen's work and the challenges that came with that work, and for several years her office and mine were down the hall from one another. In my conversations with Karen and with Trish, and in my time working side by side with her, what stood out most about Karen is her professionalism and integrity. She is incredibly confident, and in all the years I've known her, there has been no drama, only a commitment to her work, to her colleagues, and to the community she serves. Filling your shoes will be a challenge. Both Trish and I are scared. We will miss you, and we wish you the very, very best in retirement. So thank you for everything.
Discussion, direction, and possible action regarding the proclamation congratulating and recognizing Deputy Director of Behavioral Health, James Von Tumblin, for 24 years of dedicated service and contributions to the community upon her retirement from Siskiyou County.
Woo-hoo.
Haley Hudson, Deputy County Administrator. So, as as part of the 20-year or more retiree recognition program, and in light of Deputy Director of Behavioral Health Amy Von Tunglin's retirement, the county wishes to extend its congratulations and gratitude for her 24 years of service and many contributions to the community. So we're going to present to you with this gift.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful working with you.
As well as with you. It's been an honor working half my life, if you add the extra help a couple of years, but for the county and with behavioral health and with other agencies along the way. Just a total blessing for my life. So hard to move on, but I do look forward to being with my family and moving on.
Okay, well, I get the honor of reading the proclamation, Amy. Whereas with a deep respect, gratitude, and admiration that we honor Amy Von Tunglin?
Yes.
Can I say that right?
Tunglin. Yeah.
Okay.
It was close enough.
Hey, but the name Mike Allen's wedding, you just get used to getting it. Upon the occasion of her retirement, marking the culmination of 24 years of extraordinary service with Siskiyou County Behavioral Health, and whereas throughout her distinguished career, Amy is a steadfast advocate for mental health, recovery services, and compassionate care impacting the lives of individuals, families, communities across our region. And whereas her leadership, integrity, and tireless dedication have helped shape and strengthen the behavioral health system, leaving a legacy of innovation, inclusivity, and hope. And whereas Amy has led with wisdom and heart, mentoring countless professionals, and fostering partnerships that have advanced the mission of Siskiyou County Behavioral Health. And whereas she enters the well-earned next chapter of life, her influence will continue to be felt in the programs she championed, the people she empowered, and the lives she touched. And we're obviously proclaiming that today. We are definitely going to miss you. Those were some good ones in there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we have a motion.
That's my motion. Second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogre?
Aye.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. And we have one more proclamation, and then we'll do pictures.
Hold on. We have to
say something.
Words.
Sarah Collard. Human Services. So I first became aware of Amy in 2000 when I was hired as an intern at Behavioral Health. At the time, she was volunteering in the SUD program and wrote, directed, and acted in a play that I saw at COS. That play had made a profound impression upon me and is still one of my clearest memories from my early years at Behavioral Health and one of the best depictions of the devastation substance abuse has on individuals and communities that I've ever seen. For many years after that, I had little contact with Amy as I worked in mental health and she in the SUD department. But during that time, Amy pursued her education, first getting certified as an SUD counselor and later getting her master's degree and becoming licensed as a marriage and family therapist. She is the only person I'm aware of at Behavioral Health that has worked in every department and almost in every role. I can honestly say that I have never worked with someone who is as diligent and hardworking. More recently, I've had the honor of working closely with Amy in her capacity as the deputy director at Behavioral. I can honestly say that I have never worked with someone who is as diligent and hardworking. We often meet in the morning, and by the time I get back to my desk, the majority of the things we discussed are done. Amy has improved the lives of hundreds of people through her clinical work and dozens of staff members through her mentorship, supervision, and training. I honestly have difficulty imagining running the agency without you, but know that your work ethic and knowledge, your integrity and commitment live on in the people you trained who came after you. Thank you for your service, and we all wish you a wonderful retirement.
Concept, discussion direction, possible action regarding proclamation, recognizing the 25th anniversary of First Fives as Youth, Children, and Family Commission.
So as Karen comes forward, she has been the executive director for First Five for 21 of its 25 years. So hats off to you as well, because this proclamation, you know, even though it's for First Five, you've been a vital part of that. So do I get to read that now and then we'll go on? Or is that where we're headed? So, a proclamation of the Board of Supervisors of the County of Siskiyou recognizing the 25th anniversary of First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission. Whereas all children, prenatal through 5 years of age, have the opportunity to thrive in safe, nurturing relationships and communities necessary to achieve healthy development and enter school ready to learn. And whereas these critical years of development, there is a window of opportunity to shape how a child's brain matures and to lay a foundation for all of the years that follow. And whereas through continuing to foster development of our community's children, we celebrate 25 years of First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission dedication and impact to early childhood. And whereas First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission has invested over $15 million to support children in our county in reaching their full potential over their 25-year history and impact as a funder, convener, advocate, and leader in early childhood systems. And whereas through First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission's core values of diversity, innovation, equity, accountability, and community partnership, we collectively build a better future for children with key investments and efforts to focus in these focus areas. Whereas investing in early childhood education systems and support ensures children have high quality early learning experience that help them in school and in life. Whereas through the Quality Count Siskiyou program, First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission provides learning opportunities for early educators to continually enhance the quality of their practice. Whereas investing in early intervention systems and supports ensures that families have access to prevention and early intervention services that foster optimal development of all children. And whereas through the Help Me Grow program, First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission connects families and children to services and resources to enhance the development, behavior, and learning of children and increase support for parents. Whereas investing in strengthening families, systems, and supports that connects families to resources and programs, First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission supports the holistic needs of children and families to foster children's development, health, and school readiness. Whereas through strong partnerships and innovation with community organizations, medical and education providers, early childhood and family support programs, and the county departments, families, and young children have access to group classes, play groups, school readiness activities, support groups, and one-on-one assistance connecting to community services, all at no cost. And whereas through parent education, First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission offers families a variety of ways to enhance their knowledge of education, knowledge of children's development, and positive parenting practices that promote strong families. And whereas through strong and innovative partnerships with Siskiyou County Libraries, Delta Gamma Kama, the preschools, local medical clinics, childcare, and learning centers, First Five, I'm going to shorten that a bit, provides early literacy resources, quality children's books, story time, and parent education trainings about the importance of daily reading with children. Whereas First Five is commission is able to focus their core strategies of capacity building, research, resource connection, advocacy, and community engagement on creating opportunities for positive outcomes that will change the health, learning, and well-being for Siskiyou families with young children who have been historically underserved and marginalized. Now, therefore, it is resolved that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors hereby proclaim recognition of first five Siskiyou Commission for the 25 years of service and encourage all citizens to join together to build a more equitable future for our children, strengthen the fabric of our community, and empower families to build brighter futures. And it's passed, I'm sure, this day of May 6th, so I'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
And I would motion to approve.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela. Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogre.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Karen, anything you want to...
Oh, I guess she wants me to go first. I've been working with First Five Siskiyou for about seven... My name is Allison Skull. I've been working with First Five Siskiyou for about 7 years, and I've had the honor to work with Karen Potts here. She's been a professional mentor and a master collaborator and systems builder, so it's been quite an honor to get to work with her and to see all the systems that get built for the children. You know, when you attend the play groups, the support activities, you see firsthand how the children benefit from it. So I've gotten to do that a lot recently. I've also been going to the city council meetings countywide, and so I've gotten to you get to see what's going on in those towns, and you get a real close upfront experience with that. I also want to acknowledge Cheryl Sanchez. I got to work many years with her, and she had been with First Five since 1999. And so she retired in 2022, and I just want to say it's a real honor to be here today and to be here. Thanks for extending this to Karen Potts.
Thanks. Karen Potts, the Executive Director of First Five Siskiyou Children and Families Commission. Thank you to all of you, and thank you to all the commissioners who, both past and present, for the support and advocacy to take the small amount of money. As many of you may know, First $5 right now are less than about $300,000 a year. But our total budget, thanks to all the partners that are sitting here and others, is close to between $1.3 and $1.5 million. So this proclamation is today for First Five, but it's truly 25 years of partnership. And I wanted to pause for a second and acknowledge Amy for being a big part of bringing the early childhood mental health services and supports to our county. And as Sarah said, when you call Amy, she calls you back before you could even sit down. So thank you, Amy, for all that you do and for all that you've done for our community. Also, I want to thank our Health and Human Services, specifically the Mental Health Services Act funds that have supported the parenting education programming, as well as the human services, the child welfare resources that have brought in the robust parenting education programming to our county. We couldn't have done it without all of you at the Board of Supervisors and our friends here and beyond. It's with gratitude we thank you, and we look forward to continuing our work together. And special thanks to Michael Kopseff, who's been one of the longest sitting commissioners and the longest sitting Board of Supervisor on the First Five Commission. Thank you for your respect. Thank you for integrity, and thank you for doing the right thing, even though the politics may think that it shouldn't be the right thing. It means a lot. It makes my life so much easier when the Board of Supervisors understand that First Five Commissioners value the importance of integrity and doing the right thing for the community. Thank you all very much.
Hey, do you want to take a minute to take pictures down now?
Yes,
yes,
please. Okay. So we're taking a break, correct?
Yes.
Thanks.